The topic of his discourse is Last Admonition. Last Admonition. Brother Darius.
It's a privilege to be here with you, brethren. And Brother Joe brought the love of the brethren from Chicago. I will just add the love from my wife, Sister Margaret, and my mother and my sister who joined us and moved to the United States permanently from Poland last December. They're also with us, and they send their love because they visited you here in the Ohio area in a couple times, I believe. Have you ever thought about the last admonition of Jesus? What was the subject of our Master's last admonition, and who was its addressee? Answers to these questions will constitute the focal point of this lesson. Our lesson is based upon the events which took place during the last days of our Lord's first presence. Then, Jesus admonished his disciples for the last time. As Luke noted in his description of events which took place after the Last Supper, a dispute among the disciples, which one of them was the greatest, disrupted the solemn moment. This sudden dispute among the disciples did not go unnoticed by the Lord. Who was going to be the greatest among them? This question caused Jesus to wash his disciples' feet, and then he addressed all the disciples, saying, we will quote from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 25 through 27. Luke 25 through 27. Chapter 22. The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you, but let him who is the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. Did you notice? Let him who is the greatest among you become as the smallest, and the leader as the servant. We believe that this moment and the remark of our Master that followed began a sequence of events and exhortations which undoubtedly stressed the importance of servitude among the followers of Jesus. The Lord emphasized the only way we can show our greatness, namely, by a humble attitude and willingness to serve others. This very thought seems to be the connecting thread of all the words which our Master subsequently directed towards Peter, as well as his many actions towards him. In the same chapter of Gospel of Luke, verses 31 through 34, we will read about the admonition directed to Peter. Luke 22, verses 31 through 34. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. This was a prediction of Peter's denial. And although Peter paid little attention to these words, he soon learned their truthfulness. As you remember, the Lord was taken by the messengers of the high priest into his house, where we believe took place the last admonition before the death and resurrection of our Master. Let's continue reading from 54th verse to verse 62. Then they took him, our Lord, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And then the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and he said unto him, "But the cock crew, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Did you notice? It was just a look. The Lord's look upon Peter was so meaningful that we have no doubt the effect it had upon Peter. It was not a casual gaze, as we often scan the bypassers or we look at the beauty of the landscape while driving. No. In the Greek language, the term is quite precise. The Greek word, the Greek strong number 1689, emblepo, means to observe something with intensity, fixedly, or discern something clearly. And this verb really expresses what can also be translated as earnest looking, or an intense, deep look. The usage of this term in the New Testament is rather sporadic, as it occurs only a total of 14 times. In most cases, it renders the way the Lord looked at his disciples. We want to recall one such instance recorded in the Gospel of John, as it is connected with Peter. It is possible that Peter recalled this event we are going to read about as well during this moment when the Lord looked at him. We believe that many past moments and encounters of the last days ran quickly through his mind. Peter well remembered that intense look from the very first time when he had met with the Master. In John chapter 1, verses 41 and 42, we read the story how Peter met the Lord. It was through Andrew, his brother, who introduced him to the Lord. So when Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, we read verse 42, looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Kephas," which is translated Peter. And here the same term, "Jesus looked at him," is used in Greek. The same verb is used, emblepo, to look intensely or earnestly. So the Master's look again reminded Peter probably about the beginning of his walk with the Master. Certainly also many miracles witnessed by them all. In addition to all of this was this ear-piercing sound of the cock crowing. It is difficult to imagine oneself in this perplexing situation of Peter. However, we can easily imagine how much can be expressed by a look alone. Have you ever been admonished by your parents' disapproving look? I still remember as a child my parents' expressive looks, which could often convey a message pretty well. I felt though they were, so to speak, burning a hole through my skin. So it was so, we believe, with Peter, who went out and wept bitterly. So for the last time, on this side of the veil, at the end of his earthly mission, our Lord Jesus admonished one of his beloved disciples without even pronouncing a single word. We believe this to be the last admonition before Master's crucifixion. Our lesson of this last admonition does not end here, and in a moment we'll continue with an equally exceptional admonition after the resurrection. But now we would like to pause and consider for a moment a lesson which relates to the Lord looking at Peter and how this can be applied to us. The Lord has various ways to admonish us. Rarely are these lessons pleasant, especially as they reveal our shortcomings. However, looking at Peter's reaction and the stark contrast between Peter and Judas, we see an important practical lesson. Namely, it is important that we have a sensitive heart, a sharp sense of vision, and a sense of hearing, so that our Lord's admonitions may reach us early and with the greatest efficiency. For Judas, the explicit words of Jesus, "One of you shall betray me," nor "Friend, what have you come for?" had no effect. For Peter, a look was enough. What is the lesson for us? We should have a sensitive spiritual vision. Let me elaborate on that. In the book of Chronicles, we find a scripture suggesting that we are all looked upon by the Lord. 2 Chronicles 16:9, we quote that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. So the lesson of this verse seems to be an exhortation for us. By all means, we should desire perfect hearts, and with sensitivity we should look for his admonitions. Apostle Peter had such a heart and quickly understood his mistake, namely that of lack of proper reliance upon the Lord and the realization of human weaknesses. We believe that Peter was also quick to recall the promise of the Lord from the previous evening. "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Peter's heart belonged completely to the Lord and prompted him with a quick reaction, which probably also saved Peter some public embarrassment. No one ever noticed this wordless dialogue between Lord and Peter. And if it had not been for Apostle John and Peter's willingness to share with us, we most likely would not even have any record of this life-changing event. And the same remains true today. If we recognize our mistakes quickly and are ready to flee to the Lord in prayer and react with humbleness like Peter, we will receive forgiveness and will avoid possible embarrassment. The lesson does not end here, though. For those of us who do not have sensitive spiritual sight or perfect heart, the Lord has admonishing words, not looks. And these words come from his holy word. Sometimes they are conveyed through the mouth of our own family members or the brethren. We can find other records in the scriptures which emphasize that words of admonition are spoken to us at first softly, as a whisper. You remember the famous scripture from the prophet Isaiah, who is referring to the exhortations directed toward the nation of Israel. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. The Lord is using soft voice, the words spoken from behind. Let me quote verse 21. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left. So our ears often hear words from behind when we study and fellowship with our brethren. It is critical to attentively observe words behind us. These words are coming to us during the studies and the fellowship or conventions like this one. We also have to observe examples of others. It is very critical to properly understand and react to these admonitions. Why? Because for those of us that do not have a sensitive sense of vision nor sense of hearing, the Lord God will deliver the admonition through the voice which one cannot miss. In the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 25, verse 30, we read another way the Lord expresses his admonitions. Jeremiah 25, verse 30. The Lord shall roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. Obviously, in this context, the roaring voice from on high represents trouble. For sometimes, there is no better way to communicate with man except through a roaring voice, trouble. It is not the Lord's favorite way of communication, but in many cases, the necessary one. In the prophecy of Isaiah, we find the parable of the farmer, which seems to convey a similar lesson. In this fragment, which we are going to quote from Isaiah chapter 28, verses 27 through 29, the Lord God compares human character to various fruits of the earth. Some of the fruit requires heavy tools to crush the hard outer crust surrounding the desired fruitage. So let's quote Isaiah 28, verse 27. He, we are talking about the farmer, does not thresh all grains the same. A sledge is never used on dill, but it is beaten with a stick. A threshing wheel is never rolled on cumin, but it is beaten softly with a flail. Bread, grain, or we would say wheat, is easily crushed, so he doesn't keep on pounding it. We see the same thought of receptive, sensitive ears and eyes. By all means, we should desire perfect hearts, and with sensitivity we should look for his commandments to avoid the crushing or hard tools working on us. Let's return now to the last admonition on earth, which took place after the resurrection. We will focus our attention on the last admonition after the Lord was crucified and raised. It also involves Peter, as we believe this was the continuation of the admonition which began at the Last Supper. After the resurrection, when the disciples were full of doubts and questions, they met together. Doubtless, they met together and talked over the situation and wondered, why did he not appear to them more frequently? As they waited, the days and the weeks seemed long. They had long ago given up their ordinary pursuits of life to follow the Lord from place to place, learning of him and preaching to the others, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They did not wish to go back to their old pursuits, and yet, how should they proceed with the Lord's work? They comprehended the situation clearly enough to know that they could no longer preach as formerly the kingdom at hand, for all the people knew that their master, and king had been crucified, and none but themselves knew of his resurrection. While all of 11 were thus perplexed and anxious, waiting for something they knew not what for what, Peter said, "Well, it will not do to remain idle. I will go back to my old fishing business." And 6 of the others said, "We will do the same. We will go with you." And probably the rest also turned again to their old employment. Who can doubt that the Lord was invisibly present with them many times as they talked together, overruling and directing the course of circumstances for their highest good? If they should have great success and became swallowed up by interest in business, they would soon be unfit for the higher service. Yet, if they should have no success, it would seem like forcing them in his service. So the Lord adopted a plan which taught him a lesson such as he often teaches his followers, namely, that the success or failure of their efforts in any direction he can control if he pleases. The old crew of fishermen reorganized. They got together their boats, nets, etc., and went out for their first catch. But they toiled all night and caught no fish, and began to feel disheartened. In the morning, a stranger on the shore calls to them to know of their success. "Poor success. We have caught nothing," they answered. "Try again," said the stranger. "Now cast your nets on the other side of the boat." "No use, stranger. We have tried both sides all night long, and if there were fish on one side, there would be on the other. However, we'll try again and let you see." They did so and got an immense haul. "How strange," someone said. But the quick and impressive John at once got the correct idea and said, "Brethren, the Lord only could do this. Don't you remember the feeding of the multitudes? That must be the Lord on the shore, and this is another way that he has chosen to manifest himself to us. Don't you remember that it was just so when the Lord first called us? Then, too, we had toiled all night and caught nothing until he called us, saying, 'Let down your net for a drop.' And when they got to the shore, they found that Jesus had bread as well as fish, and they learned the lesson that under his direction and care and in his service, they would not be left to starve. And then followed the instructions of the delightful hour, reassuring Peter of his continued acceptance, notwithstanding his denial of the Lord, for which he repented and wept. We'll quote from John chapter 21, starting with verse 13. John 21, starting from verse 13. Jesus came and took the bread and gave them, and the fish likewise. And this was now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because the Lord said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. Peter now learned afresh of his master's love and of his continued privilege of feeding the sheep and the lamb. The admonition expressed with these special words and works of the Lord was obvious to Peter. We would like to emphasize these special words with which the Lord commanded Peter to care for his sheep. And you know, brethren, usually when we study this fragment of the Gospel, we concentrate our attention on the Lord's question and Peter's reply, and focus our attention on the different expression for love which were used here. Today, however, we would like to emphasize the words the Lord commanded Peter in caring for his sheep. Notice how the Lord repeated a similar statement three times to Peter, but used three different similar terms with slightly different meanings. In verse 15, we read that Jesus said to Peter, Tend my lambs. The thought contained in the original Greek language of this passage seems to emphasize the activity of feeding young lambs as they cannot feed themselves. And this, we believe, may represent the newcomers in our fellowship, who we have the obligation to feed with scriptural teachings, to lay the foundations of divine principles and of his plan. It may be also applied to those in our ecclesias who are young in the truth and require more compassion and sympathy. We often forget how long it took the Lord to bring us to our current state of spiritual development. And this in turn may result in a harsh evaluation of the efforts of younger brethren and newer fellow members of Christ. In verse 16, the Lord said to Peter, Shepherd my sheep. And the Greek words in this verse, the verb shepherd and the noun sheep, we believe emphasize the necessity of being a shepherd to the mature sheep of the Lord. And this in turn may correspond to spiritual leadership among ourselves and on the narrow way. A lot has been said about the importance of leadership by example. And you know, nothing teaches better than personal example, which we believe to be the most important characteristic of any shepherd. And you all know the famous saying, it's better to see a sermon than just hear one. I think it's very true. The third time Jesus addressed Peter, tend or feed my sheep. In Greek words in this verse, the verb tend and the noun sheep emphasize, we believe, the activity of providing sheep with necessary food, and as Brother Russell suggests, it implies sheep which are very tender and delicate, thus having problems with finding proper nutrition. This in turn may be a symbol of needed special care for those who are spiritually weak or sick. We all make mistakes. The Lord created us free moral agents in His image. And this freedom, this image of His, along with the learning process, involves mistakes. It happens to Peter. It happens to us. And I am sure Peter appreciated the way the Lord admonished him. One may think, Peter, a strong character, needs a strong lesson. But no, Jesus did not tell him, see, I told you so. Instead, he gently provoked Peter to draw his own conclusions and reap a greater appreciation of this lesson through a look and a simple inquiry, do you love me? Well, Peter did not have to go back to the fishing business. The Lord called him once to be a fisher of men, and knowing his heart, He knew that he would be still loyal and very zealous in his service. He renewed his commission as a fisher of men and a shepherd of the flock. And we believe that the words uttered at the Last Supper again were probably ringing in Peter's ears. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen thy brethren. The last admonition brought the intended result. Timely and appropriate words connected with the works of the Lord convinced Peter. Since this moment on, Peter did not need any further reminders to strengthen his brethren and to care for them. And it's especially obvious when we consider the witness of a third person, the person who was not involved, Apostle Paul. When he wrote in his letter to Galatians, he was referring to the commandment he received from no one else, but precisely from Peter. When he was leaving for the trip with Barnabas, Apostle Peter, James, and John recommended to us, as Apostle Paul said, that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do. In other words, Peter was the one who was really caring for those who were in times of need. You can read about this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And this is how the last admonition ends. Peter, although stumbled, victoriously finished the course. The events which we entitled as the events of the last admonition strengthened Peter's character and increased his love towards the Lord. For us, living at the end of the gospel age, the last admonition remains vital, for the necessity of serving others will never pass away. Let us sharpen our spiritual sights and hearing so that the looks and words of our Master, who is present on earth for the second time, will quickly find a way to our hearts and will not necessitate the Lord in raising his voice with chastisement. Remember the lesson from the Sea of Galilee. Who can doubt that the Lord was invisibly present with them many times as they talked together, overruling and directing the course of circumstances for their highest good? The same is true in our day. If we should have great success and become swallowed up by interest in business, we would soon be unfit for the higher service. Yet, if we should have no success, it would seem like forcing us. So the Lord adopted a plan which teaches us a lesson such as he often teaches, and he used to teach even in Apostle Peter. The success or failure of our efforts in any direction, he can control if he pleases for our highest welfare. Remember the necessity of caring for the Lord's sheep. This requires special care for those who are young in the truth. Good shepherding examples for those that are mature and tender, but especially for those who are weak. And if it happens that we come short of any of these fruits of the Spirit, remember the words of the Lord to Peter, as they also apply to us. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers.
Thank you, Brother Darius. Isn't it wonderful to see the Lord's gentle admonition to the Apostle Peter? And how many of us need to get that look every once in a while? I appreciate your services, Brother Darius. For my own self, I could picture Jesus on the shore with the bread and with the fish and maybe the fire going. And I could picture on the shore or on the boat the people saying, why should I put my nets on the other side of the boat? We tried that already. We really appreciate those things. Brethren, we're going to close with hymn number 65A. And Brother Darius has informed me that in Poland they have a tradition of asking somebody from the audience to close the meeting with prayer rather than the speaker. So we are going to oblige him, and we're going to ask Brother Christian to come up and close the meeting with prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we approach Thee to give You thanks and praise Your holy name for Your word unto us and for the blessings to be here together. We ask Your forgiveness upon us as we look into our lives and we see how many things we have to correct. And we are so thankful for Your servants which are serving us with Your word and with the lessons from it. Please help us to have that heart and humble attitude to recognize when we fall short and to make peace with Thee by Thy word and by the blood of Your dear Son. We ask Your blessing upon all the brethren around the world, and especially upon the sick and poor, and upon all Your servants which are working into the harvest work. We praise Your holy name, and we give You thanks for all Your blessings. In dear Jesus' name, amen.